to The Minute Who Shagged Me, where we go through the Austin Powers movies 1 minute at a time, continuing with The Spy Who Shagged Me. Well, if I could speak English, that'd be kind of good. My name is Johnny, and I'm joined by a very special guest. He's coming back for this Thursday Minute. He is...
Travis Bowe.
Yeah. Where are you from, Travis?
I am from Watchmen Minute and Real Comic Heroes.
Cool. And we're just cracking on this week's minutes, and we're on minute 29 today. And it begins with really elaborate hand signals.
Did you catch the her flipping the bird?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess, like, the first signal she gives out, I'm guessing that means, like, fuck this bitch.
Yeah, right?
Get down here, ladies.
And then it's like, what it really looks like, besides like, hey, fuck this bitch, it's like a weird secret handshake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like all the hand gestures. And I like that her eyes are just fixed on, you know, whichever one or, you know, where she's looking. And she doesn't blink. She doesn't, I don't know. It's just something about Heather Graham's eyes, especially here. Just really, they suck you in because she looks
super serious.
Yeah, yeah. And especially because, yeah, like she does the head turn because she's been cock blocked, like we talked about. And when she turns, it's like game face, you know. So you can tell she's there to work, not there to work.
I mean, maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both.
But this is what makes me want to, like, have, like, a lady squad to mobilize for, like, specific instances.
Yeah.
Which, well, I mean, ladies do have lady squads, because if you're like, hey, make eyes across the room, and they're like, oh, shit.
Oh, sure.
Gotta go in and save her.
Yeah, yeah. Like, get this creepy guy away from me. I don't want to dance with him kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Run interference.
Yeah, so good at nonverbal communication. I don't know if I've ever, like, done baseball signals towards someone, but I think I might have to try it. Maybe it'll make things a little bit more, like, streamlined.
Oh, yeah. I like when they cut back to the ladies up on the balcony, like, one of them has her leg kicked over the railing, and she's got, like, one arm also kind of lowered down on the railing, and she just looks like a panther on the limb. Like, she's... Mm-hmm. You're not sure if she's going to jump off the balcony and, you know, attack somebody or, and they're all like doing like the little kind of Charlie's Angels type posing.
I love it. They look great. About it.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I don't know any other way to describe this except swishy hand walking.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When it's all five of them together. Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Mars Attacks when the Martian, like, that's disguised as a lady, every time she walks anywhere, it's very much that, you know, side to side, like, flowing arm movement like this.
It's just like, why? What do you think that looks like?
Yeah. I mean, they command the room. I mean, it's like, people part as they approach, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they are all coming up, and they're going to run interference and take Robin out of the equation in the best way they know how.
Sure.
Which is...
just create a barrier.
Create a human barrier, which is vagina first. I don't know. It's just like the lady turns upside down and uses her legs as a literal wall.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, just does a handstand and...
Handstand and split.
Yeah. Well, the... I guess the other agent just totally puts her palm, you know, in Robin's face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's nice that the other ladies are there to spot, you know, the agent that goes and does the handstand split. So
that's her specialty, is like acrobatics.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, you're going to be the human wall. Get on it. And then this is where Felicity uses the time to say, better play it cool. Your friend works for Dr. Evil.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the it flips a switch, you know, when she says Dr. Evil, because his face just goes super serious.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I like this. The sexy lady came to get me. And then, mm-hmm. Oh, shit, she's working for somebody. I need to figure it out. But
and she's gone.
She runs away.
Yeah. And I guess when she walks away, her girls like disappear with her, because Robin pops back up.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like, hi, I only need you so that I can tell him. And if he's so stupid that he goes right back into it, like, whatever, it's not my job.
Yeah. And he does.
He does, because, like, boobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, which is fine. I just, like, I don't know. I just wish that he could have enough foresight to get out of these situations more on his own. Oh,
yeah. 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 He's predictable. He has reputation, and that's part of what works for him on a social level and what works for him on a professional level, I guess.
I guess. Sort of works out.
It's always worked out for him. Like, he gets himself into these jams and somehow gets out of them. But, he couldn't be himself if he wasn't focused on the ladies first.
That's very true. But I also feel like he gets himself into more pickles when the ladies are involved, even though the ladies ultimately are what save him in the end.
Yeah.
Just circling back to, he's a really shitty spy.
Right. I looked up these four women that are with Heather Graham, and one of them is, well, let me see, let me find which one. She's definitely of Asian descent. And she is Carrie Ann Inaba, and she plays Fook Yu in Goldmember. She comes back to...
She gets more of a face role.
Yeah. The rest of them, it's Jennifer Hamilton. She was a dancer in Goldmember and, like, assistant choreographer in the first Austin Powers, and a bunch of, like, assistant choreographer in a bunch of movies. Aisha Orange, I think she's the one that does the handstand. She's a dancer that...
Wow, I think it's cool that her being... Jennifer Hamilton being an associate choreographer in, like, things like Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I noticed that one too. She's probably to blame for the awful dancing that Peter Parker does.
It's not her fault that Peter Parker can't dance.
I guess it's not her fault that the movie has dancing.
No, they just hired her.
Yeah. Natalie Wills was a dancer in the movie Chicago, so that's pretty higher profile than... I mean, that was a big movie when it came out.
They had, like... I give it to IMDb. They actually credited a lot of dancers.
Yeah.
Because there's actually, like... one of the regular dancers that has gone on to be an actress.
Okay.
She's probably in the whole house, but her name's Bree Turner.
Mm.
She's been in things like Don't Hate Me, because I actually really like this movie. Okay. Everybody who's listening to this, Just My Luck is a Lindsay Lohan movie.
Oh, okay.
with Chris Pine actually. Yeah. I love that movie. partly because I think this is, I used to be really into, for all you UK listeners, if I have any at this point, I really liked the band McFly that was in there. I was like super obsessed with him. And they were a really popular band, back in the mid 2000s in the UK. So, your girl was weird, but it's fine. but yeah, I really like that they did. They even credited the synchronized swimmers in the opening number.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like, it's really exciting to see that, that they gave everybody like their dues there. And hopefully they all return for another Austin Powers movie.
Yeah.
If he ever decides to make it. And I will continue to say it all the time because I want it to happen so bad.
I think it would be suitable, especially given the amount of time. You know, it'd be perfect to do a return to Austin Powers, you know.
Yeah, Mike Myers, call me. We need to talk about it, and I think it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, Johnny's got ideas.
I do, and also that I realize fully that would sign me up for a fourth movie. But I'm totally capable of making that commitment.
Yeah.
Well, so Austin jettisons himself back into the stupid, difficult situation by, like, I don't know how in one beat you can know that this person is working for your arch nemesis and then answer her so genuinely when she asks you if you swing.
Because it might lead him to clues and, you know, his objective.
This is going to sound very vulgar, but the clues to this are in her vagina. They aren't in there.
Right.
I'm sorry. No matter how much you try to see in there, you're not going to see any clues.
But he's going to try his damnedest.
I know. So she literally like moves him.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay. Where are we going? What are we doing? Yeah. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to swing.
Right over here.
Right in the middle of the party. Sure. That wouldn't be weird in the 60s, I guess. Totally for character in Austin's house. But then we cut to, like, we pan over to a guy who looks like he's wearing a members only jacket.
Yeah. And a beret?
I guess.
Yeah.
His facial hair is awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's Kevin Durand. He's great, actually. He's been in a lot of stuff that he started out in movies just kind of typically being, I mean, kind of like this, just dumb, hired muscle kind of guy. And then the first thing that I remember him being really good in was season 5 of Lost. He was Kimi.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the Blob in X-Men Origins Wolverine, which wasn't a great role. One of the weird brothers from Smokin' Aces. And then he's gone on to do a lot of other, like, pretty interesting characters and stuff. So I was surprised to see him because I actually recognize him, you know, now. So
yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, because he's also in Vikings, which is,
oh, okay,
really popular too.
And yeah,
he's Harbord in the Vikings.
I haven't made it that far in Vikings, so I haven't seen him show up. But that makes a lot of sense. I could see him playing a Viking type character.
But that goes to show you there are no small roles.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was his second role I saw. Like, he did one other thing before Austin Powers, but
this kicked off his career.
Yeah.
Probably not, but
Oh, I actually, I think it helped because, was it Jay Roach that directed this one?
Yep.
Okay, and Jay Roach went on to do Mystery Alaska, the hockey movie, and Kevin Durand was in it as like a Swedish, you know, or someone he kind of put on like a Swedish or Norwegian or some kind of accent like that, and he was on the hockey team in Mystery Alaska. So I think it actually probably did help because same director, you know, brought him over there. So
that's kind of cool to think that even such a small like interaction, I guess, could like shape your whole life.
That's cool. Sure. Yeah.
I also want his jacket.
Yeah. It just looks kind of velour, like because it's shimmery. I don't think it makes like a swishy sound. I think it's very soft, almost like Austin's velvet, you know.
It's like the swishy sound like a windbreaker.
Yeah, I don't think it does that because I don't think it's harder material. I think it's very soft, but it still has a very shimmery quality the way some velour does.
And again, it's like, okay, you're in a very, like, conspicuous jacket for being an assassin.
Yeah.
And, like, where did you keep your throwing knife?
Yeah, he pulls it right out of his, I don't know, he probably has, like, a nice little pouch inside there, little row of throwing knives. I'm not as concerned about the knife as some of the other weapons that we see tomorrow. Like, where were those?
Yeah. I understand like, that for sure.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I guess this is more of like a philosophical question because I don't know if we can ever answer this question.
Oh, boy.
Is it possible to see this clear of a reflection in an eyeball?
I don't know, like, by looking at someone, if you could like do this, see the reflection like this, but I did look up whether or not you could, you know, get a clear reflection from an eyeball. And I found, a link to some stuff that was talking about that with a high enough resolution camera, you can take a picture of an eyeball and get like see faces like in the reflection.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, to the naked eye, you can't probably.
Yeah, I don't think you'd be able to pick up all the detail with your eye. But yeah, and this is a reference to Goldfinger because he, in the opening of the movie, you know, he infiltrates, like, a Colombian drug cartel kind of thing, I think. And blows the place to hell and then goes back to his, like, I don't know, it's barely a hotel room, and to meet up with the lady that he saw dancing earlier. And as he's, you know, making out with the lady, they separate just long enough for him to get a glance in her eye there as the, you know, some hired muscle is coming up behind him with a bludgeon. So James grabs her, spins her around, so she takes the hit to the back of the head. So
I think that every spy movie makes you want to feel like you want to be a spy.
Sure.
But I think all of these movies just make me not want to be a spy. I don't want to be like invested in like woohooing with someone in terms of The Sims. I don't want to be invested in woohooing and have to feel like I have to fear for my life.
Yeah.
Although that might be your kink and that's fine.
Sure. On the edge of death.
So maybe that's just in a nutshell James Bond's kink.
How did I get in this nutshell?
Oh my goodness.
Sorry.
I love it. Well, so we see this very like alarming reflection in her eyes. So Austin now sees the person behind him.
Yeah.
About to throw a knife in his back. So the minute ends with just a lot of danger.
Oh, yeah. It is his middle name.
It finds him everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I like that the minute ends with just this, like, the look on his face isn't fear. It's more, damn it, you are a bad guy. You know, it's very sad, like, aw, now I have to kill you kind of thing.
Because mm-hmm. I don't think he takes joy in, like, injuring people.
No.
I think he's one of those spies who's like, it's fine, we'll get out of this without consequence. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody will walk out of this.
Yeah. I think he'd rather reform people, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's partially why he wants to sleep with all these women. Like, because with him, if he sleeps with them, they'll fall in love with him and, you know, they won't be a threat to him anymore.
It's like a weird turn of, like, Good Luck Chuck. Of, like, everybody gets married after they have sex with him. Oh,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
But now everybody goes good.
Yeah.
When they have sex with Austin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's got a powerful mojo.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess we find out if Austin literally gets stabbed in the back tomorrow.
I mean, how could he avoid it?
Oh, we'll find out. There are two words that I'd like to say to the audience, and meat shield are both of those words.
Nice.
So, where can everybody find you when you're not hanging out with me with Awesome Powers?
Yeah, you can find me on Watchmen Minute, and you can find me on Real Comic Heroes, and you can find me on Twitter at ThatTravisBow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has to come back tomorrow to figure out what my cryptic meat shield phrase means. So come back and listen to us for a minute 30, and you know it'll be Friday, so that's exciting. But don't forget, stay groovy.